be here and super honored to serve. Thank you so much.
Thank you. After I introduce the new members, we'll go ahead and let everybody who's present introduce themselves, so we know. So then we have two other new members who aren't seated at the table because they don't officially join the Ethics Commission until after the first of the year. And one of them is Ms. Robin Boyne, who is sitting back there. She's the Associate Vice President and Chief Compliance and Ethics Officer for the University of North Florida. And she was appointed by State Attorney Melissa Nelson and has been confirmed by City Council. And she's taking the spot that was held by Darcy Gowler. And Darcy is not here today, but she is term limited out. So we welcome you, Robin. And then we have Leah. Hi. Leah Palestrom, did I pronounce your name correctly? Okay, so Leah is the Ethics Commission appointee. We had the nominating committee meet, you'll remember, and we selected Leah among a number of candidates. She was the shining one that we wanted to choose, and she's going to be taking my spot because my term ends at the end of this month, and I turned out as well. So welcome, Leah. We're excited to have you. Can she go ahead, Latonya, and introduce yourself for the record?
Latonya Lipscomb-Smith, Ethics Commissioner.
I'm Ellen. I introduced myself already.
I'm J.J. Dixon, Ethics Commissioner.
Lynn McCallum, Ethics Commission.
William Wall, Commission Member.
Marty Emmerdorf, Ethics Director.
We'll come back to that. Go ahead.
Paige Johnston, Ethics Office.
Cherry Pollack, Office of General Counsel.
Sandy Overbounds, Ethics Office.
Andrea was here, but
she's back in the
So we also have two of our commissioners. I'm sorry.
That was me.
We have two of our Ethics Commission members on the phone. They each have extraordinary circumstances for us to consider, although they can't physically be here. And if I remember my rules correctly, we have to consider whether or not their circumstances are such that we want to invite them to participate in the meeting. They can be completely engaged in the meeting, but they don't count towards quorum. But we have quorum. We have enough members present at the table to have quorum. So perhaps, Scott, will you go first and share your circumstance with us so we can consider and vote on having you join us in the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. And just for your awareness, I can barely hear Ellen, so it would get up a little bit. We can put the phone a little bit closer to her. But yeah, good morning or afternoon, as Scott said, as the commission member, and out today covering COVID of all things. So happy to be here and not spreading it to you.
Thank you for that. And we will move the phone. Can you hear me better now? So if you were in here, Scott, he shared that he's at home recovering from COVID and very busy not bringing it here to our meeting. And so what we need to do is if someone is willing to make a motion that we are open to having Scott attend by phone due to his extraordinary circumstances.
Anything else I should say, Kirby? Yeah, and then it does meet the list of extraordinary circumstances that COVID.
In your binder and the middle back, there should be a tab that says IOP. It stands for your internal operating procedures. And on page 2, rule 4A, little a, is the standard that you've adopted that what would constitute extraordinary circumstances to allow someone to attend a meeting and participate telephonically.
Okay, and for everybody's benefit, I can read that off quickly. It includes the extraordinary circumstance, includes, but is not limited to the COVID-19 pandemic, other health-related issues, military duty or deployment, extraordinary family obligation, unforeseen mandatory business obligation, or previously scheduled unavoidable conflicts. And I think most of you know that this meeting was not planned. It was called at my request to follow up on some things we discussed at the last meeting. So, of course, Scott couldn't have anticipated getting COVID, but I'm just saying that out loud for Eric, who's also on the phone. heard Judge McCallum make a motion. Is it seconded?
Seconded.
Seconded, okay. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of allowing Scott to participate, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Can we hear from Dr. Freiberger?
Yes, Ellen?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I had already planned to be away with family for the holiday parade before the people's call, so I'm going to call.
Thank you. So if you could hear Scott, well, yes. I mean, Eric, well, same question. Is there anyone open to making a motion to allow Dr. Freiberger to participate remotely due to his planned vacation?
I will make that same motion.
Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you for getting that business taken care of. So Scott and Eric are joining us. So the new business before us is a discussion to address a potential increase in compensation for the ethics director. And so I wrote out some notes to kind of explain how we got here. So as you may know, but some of you may not know, part of the responsibility of the Ethics Commission Chair is evaluating the Ethics Director. And I think I have served on the Ethics Commission now for eight years. I had the opportunity to finish out someone else's term and then had my own term. So I worked with Kirby for a very long time, and her performance has been outstanding. You have a document in your packet that summarizes some of her recent initiatives and accomplishments along with her experience. In talking with Kirby and kind of just thinking about things, I realized that Kirby has never received a merit-based increase, and there's no specific provision in the code that I understood to address this, although there's been some research and you have some additional information about that in your packet as well. So in our last meeting, I shared with you the results of her evaluation and discussed my desire to offer her a merit-based increase, but also discussed my complete lack of knowledge about how to move forward. And so the commission empowered me to reach out to Diane Moser, who's here. She's the chief
director,
the director of employee services. I'm sorry, I elevated to chief, the director of employee services, so that I could talk to her about how to move forward with this recommendation. So I did that. I had several conversations with Diane, but before I talked to Diane, I asked Paige for assistance in gathering some information about Kirby's experience and accomplishments, the salaries of other ethics directors. The bulk of that research is what makes up the packet that we received. So then, having that information in my head, I had several conversations with Diane, who did a lot of legwork and research of her own, with multiple contacts with OGC. We talked multiple times. And she helped me understand the appropriate process to follow. And she provided some really helpful insight and education into how the current administration handles salary increases. So I learned a lot from her, and I appreciate that, Diane. And Diane's here in case you have questions that I can't answer. So after talking to Diane multiple times, we arrived at a recommendation to offer her Kirby a merit-based increase from her current salary, which is $167,732, to the round figure of $178,000, retroactive back to December 2nd, which is the first day of a pay period in the middle of when Diane and I were having these discussions. And that's an approximate 6% increase. So, in addition to making a recommendation that we increase Kirby's salary to $178,000, I have a further recommendation, which is for the Ethics Commission to review the salary of the Ethics Director annually, preferably in the spring before the budget planning or during the budget planning season, so that if the Commission wishes to make a change to her salary, that any proposed changes can be included in the mayor's budget. I mean, so based on all of that, our discussion at the last meeting, everything that I've learned, and in anticipation that this group, the commission, might want to move forward, I asked Paige to draft a resolution for your consideration, and she has it, and it basically says what I just said. Taking a breath. So if Paige is handing out the resolution, what questions do you have for me or
I may, refresh my memory, what's the current process for the salary increase? Because we review a budget annually.
We look at the budget annually, but there really was nothing specific in the code that said this is the process that you should follow to move forward. Is, Diane, would you add anything to that? There wasn't a process we were trying to figure it out together.
That is correct. In the code, for certain positions, it says that the commission has the authority, and the code was silent on who actually has the authority on this matter. So after conferring with the Office of General Counsel, our conclusion was that Kirby's position, like others, falls under the appointed employee and official salary plan, and according to that, the appointing authority, which would be the commission, would have the authority to adjust the salary. And I also want to say too that our salaries for people in the type of position that Kirby's in, which is called an appointed official position, receives the same increase that those who are in collectively bargaining positions, which are generally lower than the type of position that Kirby is in. So the past year, we all received a 2.5% increase. That is not a merit increase. It's not necessarily a COLA. We do try to marry it with the cost of living index. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, because contracts are negotiated 3 years in the future, prospectively. So with that said, we'll be back at the collective bargaining table again this year to come up with what the 10-1 increase will be, and at that point, Kirby would get whatever's negotiated during the collective bargaining sessions.
Thank you, Diane.
And thank you for the question.
What other questions or comments do you have?
I've got a question about the annual collective bargaining increase. And so you bargain in 3-year increments. And so has it been 2.5 for the last 3 years? So we're looking at 2.4, 6, 7.5% for the last 3 years?
The first year was 3%, then 2.5, 2.5.
Okay. If I can have a
question. Sure, of
course. So what we have here is, and I did want this information because I feel like if we're going to make decisions about salaries, which I'm generally not comfortable doing, then we need to have all the information as to the background. So how many other commissions do the commissioners make decisions about merit raises and salary increases other than what is negotiated with the city for all city employees?
Generally speaking, there are a few others that may receive performance-based increases during the year. The Inspector General had recently received an increase of 5%.
And who does that?
The commission. Mm-hmm. Normally, someone on the commission would ask for employee services input on the process. And again, it was determined that 5% was fair.
And just to add to that, Judge McCallum, I sit on that body, on this, the Inspector General Selection Retention Committee. And following his evaluation, we did discuss a 5%. We discussed many things. Somebody pulled out a calculator and ultimately decided on a 5% increase for him. And I think that's reflected in your packet as well. But that was done by a similar body, the committee.
I have a question.
Yes.
So I see that the median is around 178 for city directors. Is there any tie between these numbers and years of service or seniority?
We don't have seniority increases. That's certainly something we could take into consideration. But we don't have seniority based.
Okay.
There's no
correlation.
No, there's no.
Other questions?
Is this paid for, the increase? The money is already allocated, or?
The money will come out of Kirby's ethics office salary line item. If Kirby, I don't know, you may have an idea of how you cover the cost, but ultimately, if one department is over, generally speaking, the salary, due to positions being vacant, salary line item can pick up that additional dollar amount.
Vacant from other departments?
It could be, yes.
Okay.
I do have another question. So, who would be, other than this body, would there be anyone else that would consider the staff of this body for merit base? Is it only the commission that can make those decisions?
It's just the commission that can make those decisions.
Can I ask a clarifying question about Judge McCallum's question? Were you asking specifically about Kirby? Because my thought, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, is that we have the authority to make recommendations about Kirby's salary, but it would be Kirby who makes recommendations about everybody else's salary.
Yeah, I didn't, that's what I'm asking.
That's what I believe to be true.
That, that's correct. And I want to say too, we try not to look at this in a vacuum. I know I see comparators listed here on the sheets that were prepared. I see the Inspector General, Council Auditor, Assistant Council Auditor, the Council Secretary, and the General Counsel. I just want to make sure that you understand that they are not necessarily good comparators. Mm-hmm. So I just want to put that out there. There's a lot of information that goes into determining the salary, the scope of the job, the number of employees within the area, the budget, the know-how, problem solving, and accountability. So I just want to say, yeah, that I see those, the figures there, but these are not necessarily good comparators.
What would be a good
Well, just looking at this, and this is the first time I walked in and I saw this document prepared. I hadn't seen it prior to. So I'm going to look at this and take this into consideration, but then I would work my way from it. So, for instance, the Inspector General is listed here. He's got 12 employees, including part-time, where Kirby's got five. His salary, or his budget, is about twice the amount of Kirby's. And they also do auditing work in the IG's office. So it's a little, the jobs are different. He's in a higher pay grade. So I just want to kind of point that out. And I don't want to, Kirby, don't take any of this the wrong way, please. I just want you to know that this information here, I hadn't seen it until I walked into the room. I'll give you another example. The general counsel, he's got over 60 employees under him, and he's listed on here, and he's in a much higher pay grade due to the responsibilities under him. So that's just to put this in perspective. But we agree with the $178,000 that the chair is proposing. We believe that that's fair, and we do support that.
And what are some of the highlights for the 178? How did we come to that number?
So that's a good question. Diana and I had multiple conversations. I was part of the team that gave the raise to the Inspector General. We didn't understand that he was in a different pay grade. We talked about pay grades. We talked about dollar amounts. We talked about percentages. I got a lot of education from Diane about how the current administration views salaries. One of the numbers that I had tossed out was, I don't even want to say all the numbers.
Don't say it.
I won't say all of them. But like 10%, was that a possibility? So Diane was educating me that in this administration, 10% is seen as a raise that would go along with a promotion. And that's not what we're talking about right now. We talked a little bit about salaries pay grade. I'm Kirby's champion. So we talked about, well, how do you change a pay grade? And I know that Employee Services has a process for evaluating that. Diane believes that Kirby's pay grade is appropriate for her role. We talked about that. We threw out numbers. We talked about what's supported. So in the education I got about how the city looks at raises, where the median was, Kirby's years of experience, the number that we settled on seemed to be fair, reasonable, doable, appropriate, felt like the right number.
So you were talking about pay grades, which doesn't seem to, that isn't talked about in the department at all. Is the executive director the pay grade? Is that like a label for a pay grade, or is there some other set of criteria?
No, each position is looked at individually, each classification. A classification is a job title. Each
for Kirby's school.
It's in the packet on the first page, if you look, the third paragraph, executive director's compensation data, necessity pay range for executive director.
But I just asked if that was the figure, and she said it was not. That's what I asked.
Oh, I'm sorry, pay range is what we heard, you said pay grade.
Well, she said that there's every pay grade has a top and a bottom, so if executive director is not, if this is the, that's what I was trying to figure out, Kirby, is if this was the, for the pay grade, or if this was something with titles, that there were two different sets of criteria.
So we have executive directors, other executive directors is what I'm saying, so there's like an executive director over the Kids Hope Alliance, that would not necessarily be in the same pay grade as Kirby's job.
Right, so what is the pay grade that Kirby's in, what's the minimum and maximum, because that's not what's here. Unless this is what's here, but it sounds like those are two different pieces of information.
I can answer that, I can't see what's, I haven't put my eyes on what's in pay grade, but I can answer that. Her minimum is $135,334, and the max is $220,000.
Okay, that is what's in.
It's within.
Thank you, sorry.
And I apologize, because I didn't understand your question well, it's my fault.
It just felt like we were talking about two different things, so I wanted to make sure we had the same, we were talking about the same.
Yeah, actually.
There are two different things, but maybe Diane can explain it, because the pay grade is like a number, and I'm not sure how we come across, how they create that number.
So I just want to mention that the mid is $178,000, so we would be putting her at the mid.
And I have a question. So I see here on this graph that Kirby's time started in 2015, and we know that she wasn't the executive director then.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I want to know if, I know it's a different pay grade now than what it was then, but is that time continuous? I don't know any other way to say it. Or did we start over in 2020 when she became the executive director?
When she became the executive director, she received a salary appropriate for that classification.
Mm-hmm.
So she did get a pay increase.
Mm-hmm.
Her salary went from, it looks like, based on the page put together, $126,129. To the 155, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I don't want to forget that we have some members on the phone. If Scott or Eric have any questions or comments, I welcome them, but don't feel like you're put on the spot if you don't.
I actually had several questions, but the team around the table were doing a great job of asking them for me, so I'm going to continue listening for now.
Thank you.
I know there's been some news about some other executive directors and their pay increase. Do we know of any blowback? Is there any cons to the proposed 178? Do we know of any body lack of interest not seeing that happen?
I'm not aware of anything, and I feel like I got really good counsel from Diane about what was a reasonable ask, and some very good counsel about what was not a reasonable ask, and I feel good about what you're suggesting, or what I'm proposing. I feel very good about it. I feel like it was well vetted by employee services. I think it's reasonable, and Diane has said they support it.
Thank you.
It's a great question. Thank you. What other questions or comments do you have?
Do we have to make this decision tonight? I know that you have this resolution prepared, and I get it, but is this something that we have to decide on in an hour?
You have to decide on anything in an hour. I don't know that my recommendation would change. My time on the commission will end on the 31st, so if this is not something that we decide to move forward with now, I'll leave it in your hands as the future chair. I do think that Kirby has done excellent work and that the merit increases are reasonable and warranted. So I support it.
I think the concern that most of us are government, so we go with no pay raises for a long time, but that doesn't mean that should be the case here, and I'm getting this, I don't want us to project the sense that we like each other, therefore, hence, we're gonna every year do these incredible pay raises, and I think that's a little bit of the sense that we're getting. However, I do not think the numbers that you have suggested are unreasonable, and so long as there's not this in climate where, you know, every year is going to be 10%, 6% pay raises, which is not something we see in government. We just don't. I mean, I went 10 years with pay cuts. So long as that's not the precedent that we're setting, I think I'm comfortable with the recommendation.
The challenge that I'm having with this, I actually definitely agree. I think that was the judge talking there. I agree with their sentiment that we are all very, very proud of Kirby's efforts, and we do think that the numbers that we're talking about right now don't seem unreasonable to us. The data sheet, the RFI that we received, though, it isn't a lot of work went into it, but it's not giving us a lot of apples to apples comparisons to look at. It's kind of, certainly we've learned a lot in this conversation today, and I think we probably have learned enough to be able to make a reasonable recommendation, but I also certainly agree that merit increases are a one-off. They're not something that happens every year. That's not, certainly, I get my almost 30 years of government appointment, that was never a thing. Unless there was a promotion, and then in my private sector employment now, which is still relatively new, it's the same type of thing. It's not a conflict rise. So it's something that you certainly take periodically and when appropriate. And certainly this has been a big year, so maybe this year is very appropriate. But I would like maybe if we do these again, I'd like to certainly have all that data when we're talking pay grades and equivalency comparisons between Kirby's role or whoever fills that role in the future and their peers within the city government. I think that would have been a little more useful. But those are just my two cents.
Thank you for that, Scott. I see that Diane has a comment to make to follow up to your comment.
Yeah, thank you. Kirby is in a unique position. She is the only ethics officer in the entire city. Much like the other positions that are listed on the sheet. So when we have only one person in the role, we often go to the market and see what the market is paying. And I think you have that information in front of you. I see it on the sheet that the information that was prepared. And if you can also see the number of staff that the locations listed have. So Atlanta has 11 staff members. That person's making $179,000 and some additional dollars. And then Palm Beach is with 6 staff positions at $173,000. And so that's part of what went into part of why we believe that 178 is good as well is you can include this information into that equation. But she is in a unique position.
Thank you.
Can I just clarify this? These numbers are from 2022 because I didn't try to go and call each office to get their current salaries. I just went online. You can look up public salaries. So this is from 2022, so it's fairly recent.
And I guess I sort of look at this not necessarily as an increase, oh, we're giving her 6% or whatnot, what the number is. I look at it as maybe a right size in her salary. It looks like she was underpaid for a while versus all of the stuff she's done. And so I feel like I don't know how she wasn't at the median at least already. And so we need to make that right, or at least at the median. And then I look at Palm Beach County, 173,000 6 staff members. Atlanta, 179,000 11 staff members. She's doing, what do you got, 5 staff members? So they have more, the director's making more money with double the people. Mm-hmm. So she's doing more with less. And so I don't know. Putting her closer to the median, 178,
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to ask Paige, so the resolution, I'm looking at it for the first time today, so someone in our office, OGC, has looked at this one too.
So I discussed with Adina, get arrested.
Okay.
We went over the different information, especially this language in the first part, about the appropriateness of the language referencing the manual, and also as to the commission's authority.
Yeah,
and the process.
Okay, that's fine, and where, I was just wanting to do, Adina, she was okay with this paragraph three regarding coming back and reviewing it, and the annual review.
I did talk to her in concept about what the commission might want to do, because we did talk about the manner in which, you know, we'll talk to you, that's okay, because you all care about this information as well. We talked about the different ways or timing for an increase in salary, and the manual will say that it can be done at any time or at the budget time, and so we were talking about, yes, it could be done prior to the budget, or it could be done during the budget process, and she kind of walked me through the instance of, if you're doing it in the budget process, you want to start that process in the spring, so that that can be incorporated into the budget that is presented by the mayor to council, because that way you don't have to worry about any gaps in the budget for the Ethics Commission, because if you're, like in this instance, if you're increasing the salary now, there's a specific set amount for our salaries in the office that is just the total of our salaries. So by increasing her salary slightly, Diane was saying that they have to cover those costs somewhere else. So if there is an opportunity where you want to change the salary of anyone in the office, it would be timely to do it during the budget process. So Adina and I both spoke about that. I confirmed that with her. I talked to her initially, and then I called her this week, or not this week, end of last week, to confirm that everything I understood from her was accurate, because I was going to put it in a resolution to confirm.
Thank you. Thank you for the question and the answer.
And Adina, just for your information, she's one of our employment attorneys in the Office of General Counsel, and she was actually doing some research on this topic about appointed bodies and their authority to give pay increases, bonuses, things of that nature, and so she was very quickly able to point me to the manual because she had just been looking.
What other questions do you have?
I do have one other question. Only because I think some of the people on the commission maybe haven't been on as long as we have, and so this might also be helpful. I think right before Carla left, right before Carla retired, there was an increase that was given to the ethics director's position. I don't remember what year that was, and I don't remember how much the increase was.
I think you might be talking when Carla was still the director.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, so if you flip to page 3 of your document that Paige put together, you'll see that in 2017, when Carla renewed her last contract, her hourly rate went from $85 an hour to $93 an hour. That's the only increase that I'm aware of for that position. And Carla's nodding her head yes.
I thought it was more recent than that. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I know what you mean. It was Paige's position. So when we listed Paige's position for the ethics attorney, it was $85,000, and that's what Aaron Dolan served in that. So that was most recent. That was last year. And it was $85,000, which is what Aaron Dolan was making. And then when she transitioned back to the courthouse, and we had the opportunity to hire Paige as a lateral from the Office of General Counsel with vastly more experience in government ethics than Aaron had, we hired Paige at her lateral salary of $145,000, and so you authorized that increase for that position.
Okay.
Thank you for your good memory.
And then I just have one last question, in listening to what they're just saying there. If we approve this increase now, and whether it's going to be retro back to the first part of this month, is that money already in this budget? Do we have the money now to cover that? Or is that something that we're going to have to find, and then maybe next budget time they will
so
pivot back.
I think Diane could speak to that.
So the process is, there's some things within a budget that you can do, line items and such. Salaries, I don't think you're able to move other things into salaries, but what the mayor's office has a process, the mayor's budget review committee that will handle requests such as this. Sometimes they reclassify positions, sometimes there's a merit increase. It's not uncommon that MBRC, in the initials are called MBRC, some refer to it like that. It's not uncommon that they make those requests every month or every other month for increases in salaries. And what happens is there's a group of officials that are part of the mayor's directors in the mayor's office and team of different departments. They review those and they can approve additional money from an outside source. And so I think that's what Diane was saying, is that this additional $10,000 more or less that would be needed for this increase would come through the administrative process of her taking it to MBRC. And I believe she has a good sense, based off of the discussion Ellen and Diane had, that the mayor's office would be willing to approve that. So it would be an administrative function. You wouldn't, as a commission, wouldn't have to go before city council or go to the mayor's office directly. And that's one of the benefits why I was talking about, like, every year if you were looking at budget time, you could engineer those numbers the way you would want them if you wanted to give an increase. And I think with the resolution, it's not that every year you look at it and you make a recommendation to increase. It's that you look at the numbers and see where you're at, and you can make a determination whether you want to include any changes in the budget.
Yeah, if I may, we had not talked about the mayor's budget review process just yet, because normally what happens in MBRC is that there's not money that's moved from another place, because the department actually has a lapse factor for vacant positions. It's going to be a little more difficult in ethics because the office is so small and you're fully staffed. So so what will end up happening is at the end of the budget year, the budget office will true up the salary.
Yes, thank you. I should have known, because that's actually what happened for my position. When you approved my position, because it was much higher than what was budgeted, at the end of the year, there's a bunch of monies that get put in a pot where some budgets are over, some budgets are under, and so the people who have under budgets, they kind of lose their money and they pay for the over budget so that they can true up.
Is that accurate?
That's correct.
So I do have another question. I am in support of the raise that's recommended, but I am not in support of number three on this resolution, that every year we do a merit-based review of salaries. I think if it's needed, then that comes up, just like it did this time. I do not agree that the commission should be every year considering merit-based raises. So I don't agree with this resolution only to that extent. I support the raise that has been requested today. So I don't know how to
Well, of course, I'd be interested in hearing other discussion, but perhaps there's a motion out there to approve the resolution striking that section.
I can do that. I just didn't know if you wanted to discuss first. But yes, I could make that motion. If that would be.
Comments from others? I think right now, anybody want to comment on what Judge McCallum said, add to it?
Has the motion been seconded?
No, it's still be. Oh, so you think we need to second it to discuss it?
Yes.
Parliamentarian.
Yes.
So Latanya has seconded it so that we can have the discussion.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think what Judge McCallum is saying is correct. I don't think we want to be in a position where if
situation in the city had changed and we knew that there was economic problems or something, we could actually change it downward. We could change it in any direction we wanted. So the only thing I would say is that I think the idea that we're considering the people who are doing the work of the city on a regular basis, it's not a bad thing to have that in writing because, as you pointed out, there was no process previously. So this would make a process. Maybe it doesn't need to be time bound, or maybe 1 year isn't the right amount of time. Maybe it should be every other year or something. But I would say that having it, this does not bind us to considering merit increases, and it does provide a process which seems to have been a problem previously.
But don't we already have that process when we review it annually?
When the collective bargaining, that's what I was thinking. Isn't that already done?
It's not
all employees are part of that collective bargaining process.
The answer is yes. All employees receive the amount that was negotiated at the table, but it doesn't include any type of performance increase or merit based increase.
So our review would be the merit based.
Correct. And we don't have a performance based system within the city at this time.
These are all great questions. What other questions or comments do you have about this motion? Resolution striking item number 3, mm-hmm. And then we can make item number 4, number 3 instead. Is that correct? The statement of the motion, Judge McCallum?
Yes, it is.
I work at a hospital, I keep wanting to call you doctor. Judge McCallum.
Yes, it is. That is the reason. Right.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can hear you loosely, but I'm not entirely sure I understood that last part. What is the motion you're about to vote on? Is it both items or just one?
So what I understand is that we're voting on the resolution which recommends increasing Kirby's salary to $178,000, retroactive back to December 2nd. And that's it. We're taking out the part where the recommendation was to consider her salary each year prior to the budget. So that's being struck from the resolution, assuming we vote in favor of it.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what was this item 178?
178.
So insert that into the blank here.
Yes. That's in the blank. The date is not in there.
Oh, as of. Okay, number 2. I was looking at number 2. I'm sorry.
It's
so,
the same thing.
So
we would say the.
Is that your motion, Judge McCallum?
Yes.
December 1st, correct?
December 2nd.
Whatever she said.
December 2nd.
Okay.
December 2nd. And I understand that's the beginning of the pay period, which
is correct.
How one would increase salaries at the beginning of the pay period makes sense.
Okay, so we have a motion and seconded. Any additional discussion or questions? Before we vote,
yes,
I invite public comment. Remember, please, that the public comment is limited to this item. There'll be another opportunity for more broad public comments at the end of the meeting. And I don't have my phone handy, so I'm going to ask when Mr. Nooney gets started if someone could please time him for 3 minutes. Would you do that? Latanya's working on getting her phone ready. Okay, so three minutes on this particular topic, sir.
All right. My name is John Nooney, 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216. And Chairman Schmidt, thank you for recognizing public participation 2017-160. You had the opportunity, to speak before voting state by any board or commission. And, and that was taken away in the Jacksonville City Council Legislative Committee process. Jacksonville, Duval County, is unique, in its structure. 67 counties, the state of Florida, so we are unique in that regard. And, I participated in the Charter Revision Commission when Lyman Duggan was the chair. And, at that point, ethics was taken out of the charter. And it was put back in. And then Lindsey Brock was the chair. You know, if anything, you know, I think there's less work than more work that's taking place. And the reason is because, you know, the Joe D. Public is just being kind of shut out of stuff. But I will be addressing it, you know, later on. You know, and compensation, you know, everyone, if you are, everyone's getting a raise, it seems like, everybody. And, you know, for those that have taken pay cuts, but I don't want to divert, I just wanted to share a little bit of background on this. But, you know, you've got one person that's overseeing, you know, the conscience, you know, of this community. So, anyway, like I said, I did fill out a public comment card. The biggest reason I'm just participating right now, and I have to give you props. There's a CPAC meeting, and CPAC for you all. I won't even make it down there tonight. But, you know, you pick and choose, you know, which meetings you can attend. And the biggest reason is knowing that you'll be able to participate. And that is one of the biggest reasons. Come here and the room with the chairman, and that's huge. It doesn't happen. So, and you do what you're going to do, and I do have some public comments I'll address later on. And thank you for recognizing public participation.
Thank you, Mr. Mooney. Any other public comments on this matter that we're about to vote on?
Ms. Barnum. I am here representing community share with Forest, Paradise Park Community Association, Inc., as well as Northeast Florida Accountability Forum Corporation, NOFLAC. I have no qualms. I want you getting paid because that's the only way I can hold you accountable. You have to earn your pay. So, that makes it better for the citizens when we have employed the best, the brightest, the most one for the job. And I have no qualms about, you know, any of you getting a salary. Just know that we are tired of paying for services, not rendered. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Barnum. Are there any other public comments? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion and a second on the table to approve the resolution as submitted, minus number 3, with number 4 becoming number 3 and filling in the date December 2nd as the effective date for the salary increase. So all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I heard, I think that was Dr. Freiberger. Did Scott also get to vote?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, this is Dr. Freiberger, and I said aye as well.
Thank you. So that, I think everyone said aye. So that resolution, that motion passes. Thank you very much. Thank you to Paige and Diane for all the work that you did to prepare for the meeting. Since that was the only agenda item, we're up to public comments again. So I'm going to invite Mr. Nooney. Did you want to make additional public comments?
Yeah.
Okay. So just for clarification, Mr. Nooney, you are welcome to make comments on anything you like for the next 3 minutes. We're happy to hear from you.
All right, my name's John Nooney, name and address is on file. And, I just, at this stage, I just want to share with you, right now I'm advocating for Pottsburg Creek Public Park. It's Category 1 wetlands next to Pima House in District 4, School District 3, CPAC Lane, District 3. And it's, I've been going to Waterways meetings forever. And, you know, the wife and I, to a water waste commission meeting. And, you know, again, public participation is being crushed. You're the ethics commission. You can put it back in. McCarville's not. But, you know, it was Carla Miller that told me. It was an interpretation by OGC. And, you know, public participation, again, because of consolidation, you know, and Carla told me the only one that could fix it would be the Attorney General of the State of Florida, Ashley Lindbergh, the State Attorney of the Fourth Judicial Circuit, you know, Melissa Nelson. So, I mean, this is huge. And so, anyway, I was crushed, you know, from, you know, and again, you can pull the tape and watch it. Now, I have filled out ethics complaints in the past, you know, again. You know, I guess the fine print, whatever you want, but you Kirby can pull them into, or at least Carla. How many did I submit? And how many actually happened? You know, so anyway. So where I'm going with this, I mean, it's showtime right now. And, I mean, to be crushed, you know, with our water, we're getting ready to spend $1 billion in this community, you know, on water waste. The River Accord, $700 million. No, again, I get off on different little things, but this is ethics. Can you put 2017-160 public participation? You know, you get the new guy, that Michael, that clerk. You know, I was there. You know, it was Jason Gabriel prior to that. You have, just like you're doing this. Yeah, you know, the bill numbers. I know that buzzer's going to go off.
5 seconds, you got this.
But again, your ethics, and in my opinion, it's gone. And public access, it's the worst I've ever seen. So, and I'm looking for a sponsor. You know, it could be at large, it could be my councilman, it could be, you know, the governor, it could be anybody. And, in fact, the tree commission, you know, they're going to be, they got $20 million right now. You know, it's, and like I said,
Mr. Manny,
I'm done.
Sorry, you're at time. Thank
but you know what? Props to you for recognizing it during your tenure.
Thank you.
And really, don't take, follow that lead. Because it's not happening at other places. Thank you for listening.
Any other public comments? Ms. Barnum, did you want to make comments? You'll have the same 3 minutes and you can speak about any topic that you need.
I too want to say thank you so much for knowing that public is a reason. Okay? If it wasn't for us, we wouldn't need none of you. And that has been lost. And I'm here because my whole concern is where's the accountability? I was waiting to hear from the Ethics Commission when we won the lawsuit here 3 or 4 months ago about redistricting. When the judge ruled in our favor, saying that our elected officials violated the civil rights law, their oath, and nobody was held accountable for that. That just doesn't sit well with me. It affected me, it drew lines, and I don't know about the rest of you, but how are we missing here in the state of Florida, the Florida Constitution, the preamble, the very beginning says Florida guarantee. Doesn't it, Judge? Equal civil and political rights to a pre-K word job, all ALL. We got degree lawyers and engineers and you name it, working for the city, and you missed a Greek word. All. And it's wreaking havoc on our lives. We need real accountability. Like I said, I don't mind any. They take my tax dollar and they pay me anyway. The only thing I can do now is demand that I get what I paid for. And that is missing in the communities. We are not hearing enough from our Ethics Commission for serious oaths and from following ethic laws and the whole gamut, all of them are under your auspery. Am I correct? When they are government officials? I need to know, because that's what we're looking for. And I have many examples. Jesus, like I said, redistricting the toxic waste issue, when they promised us that they were going to clean up the toxic areas and they did not. When the school board lawsuit, when the judge sat there and said, I'm too incompetent to know what high quality education is.
Ms. Barnum, you're at time.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? None. So up to announcements, and I just have two quickies. One is, I know she's not here, but I wanted to, at least on the record, express my sincere thanks to Darcy for her service. Darcy was my vice chair for a period of time. She led the complaints committee. She did great work while she served on the commission, and I know that she will be missed. And then, of course, it's my last commission meeting. Sad. It's been an incredible privilege to serve on the commission and to have been selected as your chair and to be allowed to serve multiple terms has been an honor that I have appreciated and hope I lived up to. And I have tremendous confidence in JJ. You are in excellent hands with JJ. And I look forward to seeing what amazing things you do next. Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, then
I just have one quick announcement, please. There's exciting news that you hopefully read in the email I sent out. Dr. Eric Freiberger, mm-hmm. one of your esteemed members of the Ethics Commission, was recently confirmed by counsel for his reappointment by the counsel to the Ethics Commission, and he will be your incoming vice chair. So congratulations,
Woo-hoo!
Dr. Freiberger.
Oh, that is wonderful news. Thank you, and congratulations, Dr. Freiberger.
And one other final announcement. I just wanted to give a note of gratitude to Ellen and to Paige for all of their work and putting this meeting together and to researching this issue. And also a note of gratitude to the Ethics Commission staff that works tirelessly and with a lot of dedication to help try to facilitate the ethics program that Carla built in this city. And they do a tremendous amount of work, and we went and trained the CPAC chairs and vice chairs at their annual training last Wednesday. And the three of us, Andrea, me, and Paige, all presented on various topics, and it was incredibly well received, and we have different skill sets and talents that we bring, but it was a really good blend and a really great interactive session, and a lot of high energy and a lot of great questions, and we received really stellar feedback. But I wanted to thank Andrea for putting together the presentation and for Paige for all of her great contributions as well. And then not to leave out Sandy, who was amazing as well. She helps to put our meetings together. She does a lot of things behind the scenes that you all don't necessarily
see. Keeps me straight.
keeping us all straight and accumulating our information and maintaining it and everything. So I'm just very grateful for all of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry to hold this up. I just have a question, if you don't mind, because something that was said in the public comments started me thinking. What do we do for, can we put, maybe not to discuss here tonight, but for the next full ethics meeting for new business, can we, I'd like to talk about what do we do for community outreach and education.
That's great. Wonderful. Yes. There's actually a committee of the Ethics Commission, the Open Government Committee, and that used to be one of their projects was citizen outreach and education, so that would be great. We will definitely put that on the agenda.
Yeah, so I thank you for putting that out on the record for the benefit of the public that's
yeah.
here and some of the comments. So that would be great. We can talk about that.
Wonderful.
Thank you. That's a wonderful idea. Thanks. Any other comments? Any other announcements? Anything at all? Welcome. Thank you. The meeting.